Good morning, everybody. Welcome to hour number two of the WPTF Weekend Gardener. My name is Mike Raley. The last time I let me check my wallet over here.
Yep.
That's it. Mike Raley.
I tell people a lot of times when I wear my name badge to different events, it's for my sake, not theirs. So I would remember.
That's Johnny, voice of Johnny Coley, extension agent in Granville and Person County. And a good friend, and so thankful that you're able to come down here and help bail me out. It'd be a mess if I was by myself. Thank God for Brother Rufus, too.
Yeah, on the phone.
He's on the phone this morning. He's not in here with us because he has the distemper this morning.
Yeah, I got the roof and the distemper.
But you sound good. And you got a new cat named Lum, so you got some companionship right there this morning.
Yeah,
old Lum's right here on the table. He wants to talk to the audience.
He's
before he does that, he's got to learn a little bit of English.
Yeah. Let me know if he does have an opinion. He's always welcome. At any rate, you're welcome to call us at 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. I mean, it's 9 o'clock. You've had a chance to have your first cup of coffee, at least, maybe your second. Yeah. So, now, you told me you like honey in your coffee.
Yeah, I used to drink my coffee black, and I've started putting honey in it last month or so. And I tell you what, that's... probably a mistake, because now I can't drink it without the honey.
So you're good. Putting more and more honey in there?
It's more like, a little coffee with my honey now. So.
Rufus, you ever tried honey in the coffee?
Well, I don't fool with coffee that much.
Oh, you don't fool with coffee?
Unless it's decaf and ice to boot with three or four creams in it.
Oh, that's right. Iced coffee. You're one of those iced coffee. I had a friend who used to drink iced coffee. He had a big glass of it every day, but it had a little whiskey in it too. Yeah, but I like I haven't tried. I don't drink a lot of coffee. I like coffee, but I haven't tried honey in it.
Yeah, it's gives it a different flavor for sure. Sweetens it up. And it's good.
I would hope it would sweeten it up. My goodness, but a little sour wood would be good.
Wildflower honey, I guess, is some from our hive. So it's,
You have hives? I didn't realize you have hives.
I have beehives. Yes, I don't know that.
No wonder you. I mean, you should use the honey.
most bee people would not call me a beekeeper, probably, but we do have hives.
But you do have a relationship with your bees.
They
haven't left you.
I don't have it. I did check them probably a week or so ago, and they were still there. They were still.
Oh, they're producing.
So. It's a little early right now. You're just trying to get them through the winter.
Yeah.
So hopefully, but
the honey
stores.
You use is from your hive.
It is. Okay. Yes, it is. Yep.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Okay. All right. We have actually had produce honey. We got some last year. We took a couple of supers last year of honey. So. It was. It's always good. You never know. I think I was up to five hives at one point last year, and now I'm down to two. So we've combined some, and bees are sort of finicky little insects.
Yeah, they are. But they're you know, they have that mite problem. And,
yeah,
you know,
to treat for those. And
pesticides.
They're just get up and leave on you all of a sudden, or half the hive.
Fickle. That's what they are. Rufus, did your family have beehives growing up?
No, we never did, but we had a lot of family friends. And my favorite, Johnny, is sourwood.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yeah, and you know there are all kinds of restrictions. You've got to make sure that it's North Carolina. I don't know how you figure that out. I don't know
it's
if there's
a pollen count. I think is how they determine.
I don't know, Rufus. Do they have to have the agricultural stamp on it or something?
Well, if you're going to say sourwood, you have to have North Carolina Department of Agricultural approval. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah. And it would be under the Attorney General's Consumer Protection Division to make sure it's not a false and deceptive trade practice.
Right. You have to make sure when you buy the sourwood honey that it is North Carolina honey.
Yeah.
Be careful about that.
Wildflower honey, we figure we're safe with.
The
problem with bees this time of year is that they go out and try to forage, and there's not much out there for them to forage on. If it would just stay cold, because usually below 50 degrees, they're not going to get out very much and do much foraging. But of course, this time of year, we'd get above 50 quite a bit. This coming week, we're going to be up in the 60s. So they'll be out there, and they'll expend energy, but they don't really get much back for that expended energy. And it won't be long before the red maples will start blooming, and that's really...
So they live off the honey, or...?
Yeah, you have to have enough store in there in the fall. You make sure that there's enough storage of honey for them to get through the winter. People will say bees froze. Bees very rarely freeze because it just doesn't get that cold here, but they can starve. They starve to death because they don't have enough stores. So you sometimes have to feed them some sugar water going into the fall and winter just to make sure you have enough, they have enough food to get them through the
winter. Do they hibernate?
They really don't hibernate. Yeah, they cluster when it gets cold. When it gets real cold, they'll cluster in the hive and get real close together. And hopefully where they do that, there is food for them to eat. And they make it through that way because they can generate heat in that cluster and get through the winter.
Is there any way to construct a hive that helps them through the winter?
There are some covers in the northern areas. I don't know if
anybody y'all are up
here.
North.
Yeah, even further north than that. You know, you get up into Maine and places like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have some covers that they put on them, but very rarely in this area does it get cold enough for them to actually freeze. It's usually a starvation event when you lose a hive through the wintertime. It's usually a through starvation. So as long as you keep plenty of honey in there or some food, sometimes you have to feed them. In emergency cases, in January, you might have to feed them, but hopefully you have enough to get through.
Rufus, you need some honey and honey and brandy. Wouldn't your grandmother have approved of that?
My friend Phil's going to take care of that, the honey, but she's got some good honey down there.
Yeah.
Did you say about our friend Richard's on the phone?
He is. Thank you for that. Yes. I'm looking right at it. His name. I keep yakking. Richard, I apologize. Rufus saved the day, as usual. Richard?
Richard here. No need to apologize. Y'all are in the last category of sorry individuals.
I don't know. I think it just depends on who you talk to.
Rufus, I'm glad you choose smoke cigars instead of chew tobacco. You could be otherwise known as Flu Man Chew.
that's reaching, Richard. Reaching.
There's an old saying, Richard. It goes this way: never slap a man who's chewing tobacco.
Exactly.
And never sit in the back seat of a car with a driver chewing tobacco and the windows open.
Yeah. But we have a neighbor in Ashboro who was blind. We used to take him out to eat, and my friend had a 61 white Valiant, and the side of the car was covered with stains.
Oh my gosh.
Like Jason Williams' bike. They used to chew tobacco and drive that old 1972 Lincoln and he had tobacco juice all over the side of the car, all over the car, everywhere. So I would position myself in the right-hand front side as close as I could get to the window away from
the seat. Yeah, you kind of needed a barrier.
Well, you never have worms.
Worms?
Yeah, you'll never have worms if you chew tobacco because it's a pretty virulent insecticide.
Nicotine. I'm sure it is.
Nicotine in there. I've always heard that if you chew tobacco and tobacco juice came out of both sides of your mouth, you knew you were level-headed.
Perfect. You mentioned asparagus earlier. That reminded me of a quote from Curly Howard, the Three Stooges. Are you casting asparagus on my cooking?
my goodness.
A little bit more serious note, reading the book, The Hidden Seasons, and one of their observations was that the St. John's wort actually has a very interesting history behind it. St. John was born on the summer solstice, and the summer solstice, which you have equal day and night, it also has the plants have the highest concentration of often the nutrients and the flavorings. So, and the other coincidence is that Jesus was actually born on the winter solstice. So it's pretty interesting as he's going over the solar activity in the book and what events over history and through gardening and plants occur.
How about that? Yeah. Always interesting. Always some good information. Yeah.
But life is tough down here in Moorhead. I had a crab cake and sourdough bread for breakfast.
I was going to ask you where you were stationed this morning. You're in Moorhead and crab cake. So is that a baked or fried or?
I just pan fried it and had it with a little sourdough bread.
Rufus, that sounds right good, doesn't it?
I'm thinking that is mighty good. My mama used to fry them in Crisco. I got to see it in the pan right now, bubbling.
Yeah, and, Crisco used to be used a lot. I'd use it once in a while. Normally, canola oil or something like that, or olive oil. But once in a while, things call for Crisco.
Now, I haven't, you don't have any lard.
I haven't busted out the Looter's lard yet, but
the non-hydrogenated lard is supposed to be actually pretty good for you. It's fairly healthy.
Well, then that tells me, Rufus, that I think they bound to use that at the State Farmers Market for those biscuits. So that means that we probably should eat more biscuits out there. Farmers Market biscuits.
That's good for you.
That too. That ice cream at the State Fair made by NC State down on Lake Wheeler Road.
Yep.
Well, they're bound to.
You think so, huh?
Well, you know, the new thing is supposed to drink more whole milk. Now, when I grew up, you had the Blue John, which you fed to the hogs.
Yeah.
That was the skim milk that
right.
you pay so for today.
Right. Yeah.
And you drank the cream, the whole milk.
Yeah. Well, my wife grew up on a dairy farm, so I was privileged because I got to have some fresh cream and really thick whole milk. Boy, it was good. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up. Richard, hold on here. We'll talk a little more with you on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Johnny Coley, extension agent in Person and also in Granville counties. And Brother Rufus is not in the studio with us today. He's by phone, and so is our Richard, one of our longtime friends and weekend gardener listeners. So, Richard, you've already had lunch. What are you gonna have for lunch? Or are you gonna eat lunch? Do you have a different type of seafood?
Probably. I may fix some sashimi or something.
Oh.
What?
Sashimi.
Yep. It's a sushi type ingredient, and just buy the fish, slice it thin, soak it in some lemon juice and lime juice, or ceviche is what the Mexican version is, and a bowl of rice.
Well, that sounds good, or possibly sound good. I don't know how fishy it's going to be. Yeah. I like the crab cake idea. Crab cake for breakfast. I've been to restaurants with salmon and smoked salmon and crab and stuff for like a brunch.
Yeah, fish and grits. I mean, a shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I work with someone named Crab on one of the ships, and a fellow on the ship was also named Dog. So one day, the bosun asked, "Where's Crab?" I told him, "Well, Dog said he's up in number one hatch." it was an interesting world.
I'm sure. Did you have a nickname?
No.
Rufus, did you have a nickname growing up that you're willing to share?
Pumpkinhead.
I thought that's what the News and Observer called you. No, they call you Moonface. Yeah.
Oh, one quick note on a real quick good coffee is Breyers makes these little cups of ice cream.
Yeah.
And just you can take some freeze-dried instant and just pour the boiling water over the ice cream in your coffee cup, and it'll makes a really good product. It's got a little vanilla flavoring in it, and it's quick and easy, and the ice cream brings the temperature of the coffee back down. The coffee snobs tell you that under 160 degrees is where the temperature needs to be, because all the volatiles will cook off.
Okay, well, just put a dab of ice cream in a hot cup of coffee is fine with me.
Yeah.
Have you tried that, Johnny?
I have not.
Rufus, have you had any? I know you love ice cream. Have you tried a little ice cream in your coffee?
No, I reserve that for my Sundrop and Dr. Pepper.
Well, you could have a Dr. Pepper float. You could have some ice cream in there.
Oh, I do that quite often.
Yeah. Well, what kind of ice cream? Do you put vanilla ice cream in that?
Yeah. Okay. I use Breyers, vanilla.
So you make a Dr. Pepper float too, Richard?
Not Dr. Pepper, but with the coffee.
Oh, yeah. We're still talking about coffee. I was talking about Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. I usually avoid soft drinks.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I'm going to drink anything that's going to be at least something like beer.
Oh, well, I've never developed a taste for beer or anything else.
But make a non-alcohol Guinness that goes great with a slice of plain New York-style cheesecake.
I did, even in a pub in Ireland, I did not like the Guinness. It was too bitter or something, but I really liked the Irish coffee. With the Irish whiskey and the whipped cream on top, that was good. I it was well made. I mean, not everybody can make that stuff correctly, but I enjoyed the Irish coffee.
Well, one time I asked some Irishmen, I said, "Well, you know how you can tell if a beer is really Irish? It argues with itself."
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling this morning, Richard. Happy New Year to you.
All right, or as they said a couple of days ago, Happy New Beer. That was after they finished partying.
Happy New Beer, huh?
Yeah. Oh, well.
You got weaker, as you went along there. A lot weaker, as a matter of fact, Richie. We should have ended it with the crab cake sandwich.
If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Yes, that's true. Figuratively or literally.
Exactly. Well, the show is about people who dig gardening, so.
Yeah, and we all do. We certainly do. Thank you so much, Richard. Have
y'all
a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye. So Richard spends time in Raleigh, spends time down at Moorhead.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
He's a good man, smart guy.
Generosity to the Super Kids is unknown, but I can just say this. He's been a very, very generous man.
Yeah.
With personal property that he had when his wife died.
Right. That's wonderful. All right, more of the Rufus Gardner Show, the Weekend Gardener. It's the Weekend Gardener, yeah. Coming up here on WPTF, more of your calls and more chit-chat about gardening and whatever. Well, not whatever, but you know how things come up. We'll be back. Well, a little rain around this morning. Hope you're doing well and sitting there drinking your coffee and honey and eating a crab cake coffee. For sandwich, sandwich for a breakfast. Quite. That's nice.
Yeah.
At any rate.
Just looking in the magazine, the
Weekend Gardener magazine the here winter edition.
Looking at
what caught your eye?
The swamp sunflowers, and I've always loved swamp sunflowers. They're just beautiful. In the fall, speaking of bees earlier, it's a great great pollinator.
This plant, was an extraordinary year. It seemed like Rufus, they were everywhere this year, and I like getting out and riding in the country, and they were everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, the helianthus were gorgeous, and they do get tall, and that's one of the things this article mentioned was that you do have to place them in the correct area because they will get pretty big. But I think Phil was on the show one time, and she mentioned cutting them back about the 1st of July, and that would make them stay fuller and not quite as tall. But you don't want to do it much past that because they won't reset blooms or reset buds and bloom. But swamp sunflowers is a great name, and the name – says swamp sunflower, you think it has to be in wet areas. It doesn't have to be. It will tolerate that.
Tolerate is a big deal. Most plants don't really tolerate a lot of wet feet. Rufus, do you have an area with some?
Yes, and we saw a big bunch of them at the Cary Arboretum, as you recall.
That's right. Yeah, we did. It's all kinds of beautiful plants there in June of this year.
Patrick is going to save me some seeds.
I need to get Patrick on the show again. He was with us in December, and such a learned man, Patrick McMillan. And he's retired from Clemson University as a professor, and has worked for Tony Avent before, and worked out in Washington State with one of the famous gardens out there, and he really knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And makes it interesting. That's why he had a TV show at public television when he was down at Clemson, and he won some Emmys.
Oh,
so wow! He's big time.
That is big time. We're talking about tasks we do in January. One of them, it does cost now, but you could get your soil samples in for the spring.
Doesn't always cost, but it does this time of year because
a lot of farmers. So this is a peak season. So if you did turn one in now, you're probably looking at several weeks to get it back. Normal, if off season, there 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks is what you would expect to get them back. Now you're probably looking 6-7 weeks before you got them back, but go ahead and get those in. And I say they cost, they're still
nominal.
$4, and I think they may be going up to $5 in January sometime. I think NCDA is I got something from them not too long ago saying they are going to go to $5, which makes makes sense. Still a deal. Still a
great. Well, you grow crops, don't you? I mean, you have more than cattle on your farm.
Well, yeah, but we lease our rest of the farm out to
yeah. So if you when was the last time you had a soil test? I haven't had one in a long time. I need to get one.
We do the pastures every once in a while, not as probably as often as we should, but we do do soil tests in the pastures to keep the pH right. Because I tell you, raising cows isn't that difficult. It's managing pastures that's the difficult part of.
Well, I mean the weeds. Some of the weeds might be nutritious, but others don't agree with them very much.
Yeah. If they won't eat them, then they can't.
So how do you take care of that?
Well, most of the weeds are going to be broadleaf, so you're going to just spray your broadleaf herbicides out at certain times of the year. There are some, of course, broadleafs that they will eat, like clover, for instance. But
of course they do.
You're dinging those up when you do your herbicide spray.
Yeah.
But just keeping a balance of the fertilizer, even in the pastures, you need to. Need to do your fertilizer and your liming if pH gets too low, but the main thing is the weeds. There's lots of different weeds that they come up right now battling a horse nettle. That's a tough one to get rid of in the pastures.
Rufus, when was the last time you had a soil test in your landscape?
I'll tell you the truth. I've never had a one at this place because there's so many different environments.
Yeah.
You can't just one soil test. You need to go to several different places, and I just experiment.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about wildflower seed. Now, I've got some places that I just sort of scratch up and throw seed out. When is the best time to do that?
Usually wildflower seeds, I recommend planting them in the fall. Usually sowing them in the fall, and then they'll germinate throughout the winter and come up and then get larger in the spring, of course. But usually wildflowers sown in the fall do the best. Thing with any seed, of course, as Rufus, seed to ground contact. You got to make contact with the ground for them to do good germination.
And I understand don't cover poppy.
No, and most of them you don't cover. I mean, most of them you just sort of throw out there, and because they're so small, if you cover them, you're very likely to get them too deep because you can plant them. You get them too deep and they won't germinate and come up. So, turnips and salad seeds are notorious for people. They'll rake over them or something, and they get them a little bit too deep, and they just don't get it. They don't get as good a crop out of them if they get too deep.
But I mowed them down, and that should be reseeding from the previous crop of wildflowers.
Exactly. Yeah. That'll once you get them going, once they start, and they go to seed, and then your seed will go will come up from the next year. Some of them will be perennial, probably. Just depends on the mix. I mean, there's lots of different wildflower mixes, depending on what you want to plant. Some of them have mostly annuals. Some of them are going to have more perennials in it. So but if they're annuals, a lot of times the annuals will reseed themselves, and it just starts all over again.
Sometimes they will even choke out grass.
Yeah, if you're lucky. Depends on the grass. If you got Bermuda, good luck. But that's tough. That is the toughest thing about wildflowers is the competition that they do have with weeds, because you can't. There's not a lot you can do spraying them, because a lot of them are broadleaf, and some of the weeds might be even grass, and it's hard to, it's difficult. That is a difficult one, getting grass out of wildflower.
All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here along with Johnny Coley and Rufus Edmonston here on WPTF. It's 9:40. Back at WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here, Johnny Coley, Brother Rufus, with us this morning by phone. You know, the cold weather is it's been tough, pretty cold December, but may have affected you in one way in your vehicle, your car, your truck, SUV, and another way, all those freezing temperatures put a strain on car systems, just like the extreme heat that we have. And it's a good time to get a checkup at King's Auto Service in downtown Raleigh. And King's, first suggestion always is battery, the battery and the certainly the tires and brakes, and you want all of that working well. But to start things off, literally, you've got to have the battery working. So check the battery, and the extreme winter conditions can weaken the battery, as does the hot weather. And if you want to avoid that awful silence when you turn the key, then get it all checked out at King's Auto Service. You don't think about the AC very much this time of year, but it does run in your car if you're doing any defrosting. And it's good to run the AC, air conditioning in your car occasionally anyway, just to keep the fluids, the lubrication of the system going. Cold days, you're going to need to defog. So get that air conditioning checked out at some. Don't wait until it gets hot. Do that and you find yourself without it. For those of you driving a hybrid vehicle, the folks at King's Auto Service actually have certified hybrid technicians, and hybrid vehicles are so popular right now. King's can diagnose, give you available options for a high-voltage battery pack replacement. If you need one, less than the dealer will charge for a replacement. This usually occurs kind of an average of 150,000 miles. Obviously, some going to last longer, some not so long. Call King's on Monday and schedule a courtesy battery analysis, and they can go on from there. King's Auto Service, easy to find at 1039 West Street in downtown Raleigh. And believe me, they do a whole lot more than check your battery or tires or anything. They check everything, and they can give you a lot of advice. They can tell you if you're putting good money after bad and all of that. When you have a car that you might have to get rid of it, and they'll tell you if rather than trying to fix it. So. A lot of great advice. Smart people at King's Auto Service, and they've been in business since 1946. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. Rufus, did we get the wildflower deal straightened out with you? I know you've had that on your mind here the last year or so.
It's all about afternoon.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I have a half a bag left over from Watt Quarles, and I'm going to go out and throw them out this afternoon. And so, Johnny, you don't think I need to scratch it up again, huh?
Well, as long as you got some soil there that they can fall on,
they have to make soil contact.
So that's, I don't know what the condition there
is.
Well,
I'll just break off the leaves. I think that might do it.
Okay. Yeah. If you rake off the leaves so they can get down to the soil, that will probably be the best.
I have a bale of straw, but I might just sparingly put some of that on there.
I don't know, Rufus. Cause a lot of times the straw is going to have some seeds in it. It's going to be wheat straw. It's going to have some wheat seeds in it. So you might have some of the wheat come up in there. So I don't know if it's a flat area, as long as it's not going to wash, I don't know that I'd put anything on top of it.
It's sort of gently sloping, that's all.
You could throw some of those leaves back over top of them, just very, not covered, but that'll help keep it in place too, and that way you won't have any weeds coming up from the wheat straw.
But, I look at it this way: the less area to mow, the better.
yeah, I understand.
But I had good luck last year. I had some poppies that were maybe 4 feet tall and some Joe Pye weed and just enormously beautiful things that came up in a where the ground was covered with pine needles, but they came up anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Pushed right through them. Yeah. The thing with wildflowers is it takes a couple of years probably to get enough seed, get a big enough seed bank there to, you know, it helps to compete with the weeds as they come back each year. Yeah, but it might take a couple of years to get them well established enough to do that. But wildflowers are pretty, and
nothing prettier than a field of wildflowers.
No sir, no.
And you don't, and they're labor free.
That's right, for the most part. I was doing a design talk probably with Master Gardener volunteers not too long ago, and always whenever I do the talk, I always tell people I've never had anybody say they wanted a high maintenance landscape. You know, everybody wants a low maintenance landscape. Half some people said they wanted a no maintenance landscape, but that's not a possibility.
There's so much going on in the landscape. Now, what do you were talking about? Less grass, the better. What about weeds in the wildflower garden, Rufus?
You just hope that the wildflowers will overtake it.
Yeah. It's gonna, like I said, take a little while to get that seed bank big enough that we have more wildflowers than you do weeds. But
some so-called weeds have pretty blooms on them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a lot of we have a patch of and I've gone blank on it. Goodness gracious. We have a couple of patches of wildflowers in our pastures, and we'll bush hog around them.
Did y'all plant them?
No, they just sort of came up.
Nice. And I've seen fields recently. Of course, you know, you got the henbit, and it's not a wildflower.
No.
Oh, I guess it technically,
technically
is.
Technically is. Yeah.
It's a weed. It's whatever you want it to be, I suppose. But it looks really good in some fields. But
and it's great for pollinators. It's great for the bees.
Well, little buttercups. I call them buttercups. Nothing prettier than.
Well, they are buttercups, aren't they?
Well, there's a Carolina buttercup, and they are pretty, but they're not very as far because cows won't eat them.
That's why you'll see the grass down right next to the earth gone. The buttercups are still there.
Yeah.
Are they bitter or something?
They, from what I've heard, they irritate the cows' gums if they do eat them.
Yeah.
They won't eat them. So that is one of the weeds that is usually sprayed for in a pasture setting, is the Carolina buttercup. But they, I can't argue that they're pretty. It's just that they're not very useful in the pasture setting. For that, but the Joe Pye weed is one that
we have
coming up in the pasture.
No kidding!
And
wow.
Whenever I say we, I mean LaVon.
We usually see that in ditch banks growing naturally.
Yeah.
First time I ever saw was I think in maybe Yadkin County, driving up 421, Rufus. So I'm sure you've seen a lot of Joe Pye weed in ditch banks growing up.
Yeah. So, there are some pretty ones. I mean, thistles got a pretty bloom on it, but I consider it a noxious weed because they spread everywhere. But, but they're, thistles are very pretty when they're blooming.
Yeah, some flowers have their low growing, like the henbit look pretty, you get too tall in a pasture, it's not good. And you don't... you don't want anything real tall in your yard either, a weed. You have to take care of that. Yeah. But, again, just whatever you consider a weed.
Exactly. What is a weed's a plant out of place? So if you consider it that looks good, as long as it's controlled.
As long as it's neat, right, Rufus?
I know that in my selection of wild seeds, there were thistles. And a thistle makes a beautiful bloom, I think.
Yeah, it's beautiful bloom.
Maybe 6 feet tall, some of them. I would not want that to creep over into the other lawn, which you probably will, but you can mow it down. It's green, mow it.
Right. Yeah, just try to keep things neat, and that's something that you should be doing this time of year in January, as we mentioned earlier in the show, something for Dave to do. He can get out there and make sure everything's clean and neat.
Yeah. Want to get things clean up. The other one, I couldn't think of the other one. Very common milkweed. Milkweed is another plant we have in the pastures. We got one of the pastures. It's a pretty good size area, and we just let it come up every year and bush hog around it for the monarch butterfly to.
Milkweed's a great thing to have around. Yeah. But we were talking. Melissa and I were talking about planting. She bought some new bulbs. Those bulbs do go away if they get crowded out and they so do. Forth. If you don't divide them. Daffodils, spring flowering things, crocus, and we were discussing where to plant them. And they like sunny areas and to be planted at a certain depth. They like cool soil too. But Irv Evans used to talk about planting daffodils. He said you can do that. You can plant them all over the yard, but just remember that you're going to have those no flowers. And the flopped over leaves, and you're going to have to leave those for a good while as they decay and brown and soak up all the sunlight to make food. And so it's not going to look very good, so be careful where you plant them. Rufus, you agree with that?
Edge of the woods for me.
Yeah.
You've got to plan where you plant certain things because – And that's my defense for annuals. A lot of people, they say they don't like annuals because, they want something that's going to come back every year if they want to plant a perennial. Well, you plant an annual in May, and it's going to bloom from that time until October when it frosts on it. A perennial is going to bloom for, maybe 3-4 weeks out of that season, and then you're going to be looking at either just the foliage or whatever. So, planning where your perennials are and knowing what the seasons, what they're going to look like in different seasons is very key in designing the landscape. And you can always fill in with the annuals. You can always fill in color with the annuals.
Right. And, tulips can be perennial or annual around here, mostly.
Yeah,
mostly annual, it seems like.
Yeah.
Although NC State has done a lot of research, and I know that I was told by a professor at State that in buying, and there are, I don't know that State has developed bulbs, but they've studied a lot of them, and the shorter varieties seem to work a little better around here for some reason. I don't know if I'm sure there are certain ones, but
if you go to a
garden center in this area, usually I know Logan's. They have a lot of bulbs, and they can probably tell you which ones, a lot of tulip bulbs. Yeah. They can probably tell you which ones will work better around here. The tulips, of course, are happier in Michigan than they are here or Holland, but they need drainage. They need good drainage.
They do, so, and a lot of times that's what happens with the bulbs is that they'll rot out rather than freeze out. They'll just get too wet and rot. Yeah.
So plant them on a slope if you have a slope, and you might get more yield out of it,
color and
stability. Exactly. All right, we've rushed through. Well, we haven't rushed too hard. I'm not out of breath. the 2 hours. So we got one more hour. We'll have Miss Monica and Phil Campbell will join us to say hey coming up here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener.